The key is knowing who you are.
All right.
So we'll begin with this personality of sanguine. We'll analyze the sanguine personality. Sanguines at heart are exciting people who like to have fun. Consequently, the sanguine personalities are usually popular. You'll see this in school things, to where, especially if they have a secondary choleric personality that makes them a double extrovert, you see them as a very pleasant personality. They're the life of the party and all this type thing. Sanguines are generally very talkative. You got the message. That means they're probably not as good of listeners. Okay? That's a weakness that can be worked on. Okay? You make yourself listen and you make yourself be quiet. Okay? Sanguines are somewhat naive. They generally have a good sense of humor. They're the brunt of the jokes so often, you know. They can be called scatterbrained or airhead or things of this nature. And you can usually get something over on a sanguine. And they're emotionally demonstrative. And they have a changeable disposition. Now, again, your secondary personality affects all this, okay? They can laugh easily or cry easily, okay? They can be friendly or hostile, depending on the secondary personality. Their emotions are quickly displayed, whether positive or negative. That's because they are a spontaneous personality, which simply means they don't necessarily think things through. They can tell you what they think before thinking about what they say. Okay. Sanguines are animated. They often, they will talk with their hands and physically touch the one with whom they're speaking, and an extreme sanguine, it's really interesting. I have a friend that he cannot talk to you. He's got to be on you, and he'll be up in your face. And it's really amusing. It can be annoying at times. But that's just their natural personality, and some people can mistake that for flirting when in reality it's not that at all. So you better be cautious in that area. Sanguines are very enthusiastic and expressive. They can make very good readers, okay, because of their ability to express. They're generally cheerful, full of energy. They're curious and inquisitive. You know, I could walk in and see something there and sitting on the table and not say anything. But on the other hand, if Sherry would walk in and see that sitting on the table, she may want to know the case history of it. You understand? That's what I mean by curious and inquisitive. It's like this. Often, Sherry may say to me, and she's learning not to do this, but she'll say, "How was your day?" "So far." "What did you do?" "What I always do." I mean, what's the big deal? That's how I view that. But if you ask her, how was your day? Then sit down. Because she could give you detail. Who she talked to and what went on and all this, that, or the other. That's the difference in personality. So, they tend to live in the present and give little thought to planning for the future. They enjoy the moment. You understand? They just live for the moment, and because of that, they can be forgetful. You see this, I'm sure you've seen this, especially with waitresses, or a waiter, a server, okay? That they ask you, you know, if you need anything, and you say something. By the time they get across the room, they've been distracted, and they forgot. They just forgot because something else captivated their attention. Okay? So that's why they can become forgetful. And there's other things that go with that. Lack of interest. And it's said that sanguines never grow up. At 10, they like to have fun. At 90, they like to have fun. They live for the moment. They always have a childlike heart. Consequently, they're often susceptible to deception as well as hurt. Open arms leaves the heart unprotected. And so they trust you with that childlike faith, and they can be hurt in the process. Sanguines usually are the ones that volunteer for the jobs. But they may not always finish what they start. Okay? Sanguines seem to have a short attention span. Consequently, they're constantly searching for new activities. The ADD or ADHD will probably be sanguine and choleric in most cases. Because they have very little attention span. Sanguines are usually very enthusiastic and dramatic. You know, they can take the role in the play, you understand. Actually, I have a granddaughter that her mom calls her drama queen. Because it doesn't matter what touches her life, it's a drama. It's very dramatic. And she can be very expressive in all that. And so we laugh at her. Sanguines have a way of inspiring and charming others to work because they're so pleasant to be around. And because of their extroverted personality, sanguines generally make friends easily. Have you ever heard the phrase, they never met a stranger? Or they could talk to a wall? Well, that's going to be the sanguine personality, and clerics have some tendency there as well. But it's just easy for them to talk. That's why you'll find a lot of your salesmen are sanguine. Because they're very friendly, you know, they appeal to people, okay? They may not always tell you the truth, but they'll be friendly in line. not that they're all liars, don't misunderstand me, okay? Because of a short attention span, sanguines generally looking for new activities. You understand? They get bored. This is good for right now, but then next week we need to be looking for something else or something else or something else. Anyway, because of their friendly attitude and extrovert personality, all that, They genuinely love people. Now, you have to make a contrast between choleric and sanguine, because you can see a choleric as a people person, but usually it's a different motive with the way a choleric deals with people, the way a sanguine deals with people. A sanguine is, you know, what can I do for you? A choleric may be, what can you do for me? You know, it could be a little different there. We can look at that a little further if we need to. Sanguines make friends easily because they're so outgoing. They do not like to be alone. Now, here again, that's affected by secondary personality. And when we give these, just remember there's extremes. All right? Everyone's not an extreme sanguine. Even though that may be the predominant personality, the secondary personality may pull that back in. But if you get someone that is an extreme sanguine, what we call off-the-wall sanguine, you're in for a treat. Because they bounce off of the wall, you know, with excitement and enthusiasm and not thinking. So sanguines don't like to be alone. Okay? Just think about it. For those who have scored yourself there, they like people around them. They like to, if a talker wants someone to talk to. Right? Sanguines thrive on compliments. And they expect to hear them. Tell me I'm good. Tell me I look good. You know. And here's an interesting thing, is sanguine personality doesn't hold grudges. They're quick to release something. They're more quick to say, I'm sorry. They may get mad easily, but they also get over it quickly. And consequently, they're quick to apologize. I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong. I know. No. Okay. Sanguines like spontaneous activities. They try to prevent dull moments. Have you ever noticed if you get in a get-together, it could be a family get-together or some type gathering, it's always the sanguine that wants to play the game. You understand? The charades or what, all these other things. Give me a break. Y'all go ahead and I'll watch, okay? But that you want your activity director to be a sanguine, okay? Your social director or whatever. Sanguines look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're generally unorganized. Now, that's a real good way of saying scatterbrained. And what we mean by that, that's really not a derogatory remark, as some take it, is that things are scattered all over their brain. It's not in an organized drawer. It's not in a file, you know, where the melancholy would be systematic. And we'll talk about that. Go ahead. Do I have a green light? Okay. When we first started here with the college and setting up files, and Jane being the director of the college, so the school files are in Jane's office. And so she's setting these files up. Well, she was out or whatever, or it may have been during the day, and I needed to find attendance sheet. Now, everybody knows that would be under A. Everybody but a sanguine. And I look. I don't know. I spent quite a while going through the drawers trying to find attendance sheet. And so finally, when I saw, I said, "Where? I know we have them. So where are the attendance sheets in the file cabinet?" Oh, and she opened the drawer. And said, "Back here." I said, "Why is that, W? Anyone want to guess? Who's here, who's not?" Now, here's the thing about it. That worked for her, but it didn't work for me. And so you have to learn to work with people and to get a system that you both can work with, that you both understand. And especially with files, it's very important to be able to get your hands on something quickly, especially if you get a phone call and they're needing certain information or whatever. And so we've worked through with the help of Annette's melancholy personality and getting us right labels and all that is working pretty good, isn't it? Okay. So, anyway, sanguines tend to elaborate and maybe even exaggerate in an attempt to embellish the subject. And sometimes when talking to a sanguine, I have said, "Wait, it's yes or no. That's all I need to know. Yes or no." Okay? Because they like to detail. Now, the interesting thing about it is they're not necessarily a detailed person in organization, but when in talking to you, they want to give you the details. Okay? That's who they are. Now, they need to work with that to keep it in proper confines, proper being, not offensive or to people, you know, to where you don't turn people off. All these things can be worked out. Sanguines tend to dwell on trivia. Where did you get that? Well, how long have you had it? How much did it cost? Did they have any more? They have the uncanny ability to take things far beyond normal expectations. You know, draw me a box. Boy, can they draw you a box. An architectural drawing of a box. Sanguines are too happy for some people. They think they have an ulterior motive behind all this. Actually, an extreme sanguine personality can scare people off. This person's not for real, you know. Sanguines tend to have restless energy. Hard for them to sit behind a desk for long periods of time. They have to get up and be doing something. They get bored. Too much energy. I'm wasting this energy, you know. I've got to do something. And this restless energy is often referred to as hyperactivity, which may also be seen in the choleric personalities we mentioned earlier on the ADD. And because sanguines are naive, people often take advantage of them. Never send a sanguine to the garage with their car to get it worked on, or it may be an exorbitant bill if it's an unhonest person, you understand. They will take advantage. I just was looking at something, and somebody said something to me, what do you think about this? I said, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not trying to take you for a ride. Don't even go back. Don't mess with a liar. You understand? If you're not sure about it, ask somebody else. Sanguines are generally can generally be picked out in a crowd because of their enthusiasm, and they have an enthusiastic laugh. You're quiet. anyone notice that? They're uninhibited. You understand? They don't think about drawing attention to themselves. They're just uninhibited. Look at me. I don't mind drawing attention to myself. I don't care where... the opposite side of that, melancholy, would not want to bring the attention. Sanguine, they think it, that's fine. Or choleric, either one. That's fine. Look at me. Often sanguines are controlled by circumstances. Here again, I think by developing spiritually, this can be changed dramatically. Okay? To where you're led by the Spirit rather than being controlled by the circumstances. To some, sanguines may seem phony because they maintain a childlike innocence. You think they should know better when they don't know better. And some people take advantage of that. Sanguines are easily distracted. Often waste time talking when they should be working. Have you ever noticed that with people that, like on a job, someone can talk? They can't work and talk. They stop what they're doing and they engage in conversation, not understanding productivity just went down when you're talking. Okay? Now, there's a balance in all this, obviously. Sanguines have a tendency to forget their obligations because something else came up that caught their attention. So they can promise you and maybe not show up. Disorganization may contribute to this weakness. Okay? So there's things that can be done about all these. Sanguines are... undisciplined and have the priorities out of order. And here again, I'm talking about extreme. Secondary affects this, and these things can be worked on. A sanguine can be organized. You understand? I have a daughter that's very organized. I told Pat, we were laughing about it. I told him I kept her suppressed to where everything, you know, we wanted things right, things in place. So she is very organized, but she loves to laugh and pick and go and shop and have fun and harass Pat from time to time. Sanguines tend to lose their confidence quickly, depending upon the personality blend. Especially if they're doing something that they don't think it pleases you, then they can back off of that. Generally, sanguines make their decisions based on feelings rather than logic. An extreme sanguine is very in touch with their emotion. They can laugh easily or cry easily as a result of that. And consequently, because they're in touch with their feelings, they don't always think things out. So they're not logical. Okay? They're more emotional. Sanguines want to be popular. Consequently, they tend to do things to draw attention. Have you ever heard that? Look at me. No rednecks, you know. Look at me. Yeah. Look, Ma, no hands, you know. Often they dominate conversations, and this is a weakness you'll find with sanguines, is they interrupt others while they're talking. they're not listening to what you're saying. They already know what they're going to say, so they interrupt. They don't let you finish. That can be worked on, you understand. Since listening does not draw attention, sanguines are not very good listeners. You know, when they select a jury, they look at these things. And especially the defense will pick someone that doesn't pay attention. Because if they hear all the details, they may rule differently. So they play on all these things. The blend of the personality affects this weakness of listening. And either in a positive or a negative way. Okay? Cholerics are not real good listeners. So if it's a sanguine and choleric mix, you could have a problem. Sanguines need credit for the things they do. They're the ones that need the pat on the back. And I'm not saying that's all bad or all good. It's just their personality, okay? Sanguines often answer for others. Okay? I'll give you an illustration of this. You know, when our kids were about, I don't know, probably just early junior high, maybe late elementary, or junior high, my son had done something. And I asked him a question. His mom answered. I asked him another question, and his mom answered. And then I finally said, "Is your name?" I'm talking to him. You've never done that. Okay. Yeah, they can answer for others. They're generally what we call fickle. It means they can change easily and forgetful. Sanguines tend to make excuses for anything that they've done wrong. There's a reason. And they always seem to have that reason for a mistake if they make a mistake. Okay. And here again, we're looking at an extreme. All right. Often sanguines repeat stories because of a compulsive need to talk. They can tell you the same thing over and over. Now, the following words best summarize the sanguine personality: playful, talkative, naive, animated, unorganized, enthusiastic, spontaneous, a social extrovert. That's just a summary of that sanguine personality. Okay? Now, how many scored sanguine? So does what we just said fit you to some degree?
Oh, yeah.
Well, remember extremes. And secondary is going to affect this, okay? But are you still satisfied that that's your predominant personality? Okay. All right, the next thing we'll look at is choleric. And we'll begin with the strengths of a choleric. They're born leaders. And they like control. They're dynamic and active. They have a compulsive need for change, not just average, but compulsive. They're goal-oriented rather than people-oriented. We're going to reach the goal. If we work you to death, that's your problem, but we're going to reach the goal. Okay? Cholerics are strong-willed and decisive. Clerics are not known for their affection. Here again, these secondary personalities affect. They are able to make difficult management decisions that affect people in a negative way. A choleric, and here again, depending on the secondary personality, can fire you and not blink an eye. Okay? Or can reprimand you. Okay? Clerics are not easily discouraged. Knock them down, they can get back up. Okay? They're generally independent and self-sufficient. They display extreme confidence. They're powerful people. What you'll find is this will be one of the mixes of corporate leaders, presidents, will have that choleric mix generally in their personality. You see this with especially in first responders, emergencies, things of this nature. You'll see that you usually see a choleric mix in that. And just to show you what I'm talking about, if you have had an accident and you're laying on the side of the road, and here comes an ambulance and a phlegmatic gets out, and he's trying to figure out, do I do this? Is this the right thing to do? Is this going to hurt the person? Where the choleric is instant. So in those cases, you want a choleric showing up. You don't want a phlegmatic fireman. You want somebody to get on the scene and put out the fire, you understand? So this will help you understand these personalities as far as jobs, okay? So the cholerics have an extreme choleric has an insatiable desire for control, and so they want to run everything, including your life. And where you see an extreme personality, I've actually been out with someone that's ordered my food for me. You'll like this. I'm serious. Okay? That's an extreme, all right? And because cholerics like to lead and coordinate, they focus on group activities. They like group activities. That's somebody I can tell what to do. Clerics organize through delegation. They like to tell someone what to do. Now, here again, secondary personality will affect that as well. Okay? Clerics delegate work and they insist on production. Don't tell them why you didn't. You're hired to do that. Now do it. No excuses, right? Cholerics seek practical solutions and they move to action very quickly. It doesn't take a choleric long to make a decision. He can make a decision that quick. If it's the wrong one, he can make another one that quick. Okay? That's here again, just think about extreme. Okay? Generally, clerics reach their goals because they're driven. They're goal-oriented, so they reach their goals. They stimulate activity. They thrive on opposition. You said, I can't? Watch me. You understand? They're very competitive. Okay, this is why you see a lot of your athletes that excel will have a cleric mix, generally speaking, in their personality, because they're that need to be there. The competitive need is there. I can't let you push me around. I can't let you whip me. I can't let you beat me. You know, that type of thing. And because of quick action and control, the choleric excels in emergencies. That's what we were talking about a while ago. Cholerics find it necessary to correct wrongs. They'll correct you in a red-hot second, whether you want to be or not. And the secondary blend can greatly affect this trait. You get choleric melancholy mix, and they can get you straightened out. The melancholy being a perfectionist, and you tie that in with that choleric, and they'll tell you what's wrong. The choleric has little need for friends. And here again, the personality trait, the blend, affects that. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to understand this. This is why you see clerics in certain positions on job. They're there with a mandate, for instance, production. So they're going to meet the production, and they may make everyone mad doing it, but they're going to meet the production because they're goal-oriented. That's what we mean by he doesn't have to have a lot of friends. What he wants is that goal met, whether you like me or whether you don't. You're with me on that? All right. The predominant weakness of the choleric is denial of weakness. I was going to give this evaluation to someone that was extreme choleric. Well, I'll just tell you this. It was my mom. You know, she's passed away now, so I can say this. She wouldn't take it. She wouldn't take it. I said, well, I know what your personality is. Whether you take it or whether you don't. I mean, you are who you are. But she didn't want to know her weaknesses. Oh, well. So, clerics tend to be bossy, impatient, quick-tempered, and they find it difficult to relax. A cleric needs to be doing something. And here again, secondary mix affects that. A cleric just sitting down is wasting time. Yeah, we're burning daylight. Right? So they're driven to do something, all right? Clerics have a tendency to move too fast. They may go into action before gathering the facts. They just walk up and see something and assume that they know without understanding all the detail. Get the facts. And there again, secondary personality affects that. Clerics seem to enjoy controversy and arguments. You want to argue, find a cleric. Clerics will not give up when losing. I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you if he was here. My younger brother, whom you guys know, well, I'm 4 years older than he is. And so, growing up, he is an extreme, extreme choleric. Always has been. Dale knows. And he and I used to fight all the time, growing up. And I would get him, right before I thought he would die, I'd turn him loose. I mean, his face would be blood red. And as soon as he got up, he would say, you better be glad you turned me loose. If you did, I was getting ready to hurt you. They don't give up. Now, that can get you in trouble. And believe me, it's gotten him in trouble more than one time. Generally, clerics are inflexible and come on too strong. It's what we call a dominant personality, arrogance that they emanate. And here again, all those can be changed by one's relationship with the Lord. Also, the secondary personality affects this as well. Clerics are not genuinely complimentary. They do not like tears and emotional display. Okay? Suck it up. Get over it. I mean, that's their... Any clerics in here? Okay. Basically, clerics are unsympathetic. There again, the personality blend affects this trait as well. And clerics have little tolerance for mistakes. Although they make mistakes, they have no tolerance for mistakes. And they did not always analyze the details because trivia bores them. Let's get on to the big picture. Okay? You take care of the detail. I want to see the job done, all right? And too often, clerics make rash decisions. They tend to be rude and tactless in dealing with people because they're thinking the end justifies the means. I need to get this accomplished. You'll get over it. Okay? And they tend to dominate and decide for others. They demand loyalty in the ranks. And often they use people for their advantage. They have a basic philosophy. The end justifies the means. And they can be very demanding and not even realizing they tend to manipulate people and often use fear tactic when managing people. People do what they say because they're afraid they'll get fired if they don't. They're afraid of consequences. Now, obviously, these are weaknesses of the personality. My time's up, so I'm going to have to stop here. And we'll pick back up. We're still in this choleric side, okay?